Hey guys, my name is Bernie.
My name is Yasmin, and you're listening to the Fashion Fopa podcast.
This is the podcast where we have candid conversations with industry professionals about the fashion industry. It's a mouthful, I know.
You can find us on Instagram at the Fashion Fopa podcast, and individually
at King Bernie with two E's at the end,
and at Yasisaya on Instagram.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review. And if you didn't know,
we're on YouTube as well now. So now that you do know, be sure to subscribe.
All of our information will be in the show notes, like always.
Once again, this is the Fashion Fopa podcast.
Let's get on with the episode.
Hi, welcome back to the Fashion Fopa podcast. My name is Bernie.
My name is Yasmin.
And you're listening to the podcast where we talk to industry professionals.
Damn. Wow,
that was a struggle. You're listening to the podcast where we talk to industry professionals about the fashion industry. How are y'all doing? We have a guest.
Yes, we do. A very exciting guest today.
We're excited. Morgan, please introduce yourself. Tell the people what you do, who you are, how you feeling.
Hello, everyone. I was going to say good morning, but I didn't know if this was going to be like released in the morning. But hello, everyone. I'm Morgan McKenzie, also known as the Atlanta It Girl.
Period.
Coming through your earphones or wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm obviously from Atlanta, Georgia in the U.S. I'm a freelance wardrobe stylist, content creator, and creative director. For the moment, I do work on a TV show in the costumes department. Kind of have a love-hate with that there because for reasons we can get into later if we want. But
curious to know for sure.
But yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm really excited. This is my first podcast. When you asked me to be on, I was like, I don't really think that I'm that interesting to be on a podcast, but you know, here we are. So
it's called imposter syndrome and we all have it and it's fine, but you're definitely interesting more than enough to be on the podcast. Don't even question that.
Yeah. So when we started the podcast, like you were definitely one of the first people that I wanted to talk to because I was like, I'm a fan of your page, of what you do, and I feel like both me and Yasmin, we do the same thing as you. And it was more so of a thing of like, sometimes me and her, we struggle with like trying to juggle everything.
Yeah,
honestly, we've done a pretty good job this season with the podcast.
Yeah, we have.
We've been very consistent.
I would say so too. I mean, like, obviously, like, I don't know what you all do day to day, but I think having anything that you do for yourself and that you're doing consistently, like, that's, it's hard. Like, when I first started, like, realizing I'm making that transition from, okay, you're not a student anymore, you're an adult that's, like, you can do whatever you want type shit. I was like, okay, like, you really do have to figure out that balance. Like, I feel like I've heard grown-ups around me all the time, like, balance, balance, balance. Oh, like work-life balance. And I'm like, man, whatever. Like, it's not that hard, but no, it's fucking hard.
It's difficult to find time to fit in for like friends, family, like creative stuff that you want to do on the side, depending on what your day-to-day is. But when where there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly. I always say that.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't want to be dying for the way.
That's no, I'm not trying to suffer just for the way. No. That's not an option. I'm not about to go through the trenches just for that.
No, for real, that's funny.
So you mentioned school. What did you study? How was your experience as a student?
So yeah, I went to the Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD, Sleep Comes After Death. That's what we called it. I know, it's actually really funny, the different like acronyms that people came out of it, but like, it's true. Like, I went to school for fashion marketing, and like, just the way that like their coursework is designed, it's like you really do have all the tools at your disposal to like get to where you want to go. It's just like depending on like how much effort you want to put into it, which is like sleep comes after death, because it's like, I mean, there were times that, you know, I didn't sleep and shit, but that's like the normal college experience. But I loved going to SCAD. I mean, I feel like no matter what school that you're at one point you'll be talking shit about it and be talking about what you don't get out of it or what could be better. But I don't know, like, if I really think about it, I really did love my experience at SCAD, like, the people I met, the other students that I got to work with on collaborations and different projects and stuff, all of which are, like, you know, really important to the portfolio that I have now, which I'm grateful for, but I loved it. I mean, there wasn't as many Black students on the campus. I mean, if they were, it was like, so you had like your different cliques, you know how they say like in movies and stuff, like you had like your anime like black group of people, and then you had like your, I mean, no, but I'm telling you, like the anime kids, I mean, they're pretty cool though, like the way that they can just draw and animate things, like it's really dope. But you had like those subset of people, and then you had just like, I don't know, just like your regular black people who are just like trying to figure out how to fit in. Because a lot of the students that were in my class were white. And I've, heard of people like feeling, uncomfortable or like unseen in class because they're maybe like one of two black people in that class, but I never did. Like, I'm obviously like HBIC. Like, I remember in one of my classes, like the setup was like a like one long table, kind of like a meeting table, and there were like chairs on either side, and then there was just one chair at the very end, like that was at the head of the table, and that's obviously where I sat. I mean,
I
like
mean,
that was the that was the first thing that
I know that's
was
right. For
those
open.
who didn't like realize, she's an Aries, and I feel like she exudes Aries energy. Like, that was so nice of you.
I am. And it's crazy because it's like before the zodiac memes or whatever like ever came out, I never really knew what that meant, like Aries energy, or like I didn't think that I acted like one, but I do. I've come to realize that the
I
older
feel that because I'm a Libra, and like the more that like I grow and the older that I get, the more that I'm like, yo, I'm a Libra,
to a T, baby, like T to a T. But you could say the same thing about me too. I feel like you'd say the same for me, Bernie.
yeah, she's a Pisces to a T.
Oh, I know
Yeah,
Pisces. I love both Libra and
I
Pisces. Like, I have
see.
really close friends that are both. So.
That's the reaction that bugs me when people find out my sign is they automatically go, aw, like, we're not, we don't need help now. We're just a little
Don't
emotional, that's
kill
all.
me. No, but
You
listen,
know?
I can empathize with you because I'm a Pisces moon. So it's like,
Oh, yay.
so like my best friend, like who's a Pisces, like when she's in her feelings, like we're both in our feelings, we're just, it's a feelings
Yeah.
party, you know?
That's the same for my best friend who's a Libra. She's also a Pisces moon, so we get it when we're both internally sulking. But
Right.
Jasmine's just like, man, I don't get that from Bernie because I'm not the
no, I don't. I the she's the last person that I would go for consoling.
So you have
Not to
friends
say
for
that she's
every
not a
need.
good, she's very good to like, pick back up when you're feeling down because she's gonna be realistic and she'll keep it a buck with you. But she will tell you the shit that you need to hear, not the shit that you want to hear. Talk about, she won't be the type to be like, oh my, I'm so sorry. Wow, that must be so hard for you. But you won't hear that stuff from her.
I'll be like, I won't validate your feelings. That's cute though.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'll be like,
See,
I'm sorry
but
you feel that way, but let's move forward.
you know that meme that's like, happy to hear that, sorry that happened to you?
Yeah,
That really is me.
that's
Like,
you.
I've definitely texted that to some people, like, happy to hear that, or sorry that happened to you. Do you feel like going to, okay, so Yasmin went to fashion school. I went, dropped out because I didn't feel like the program was going to help me and prepare me for the fashion industry. And I was definitely right because I think like the experiences that I've gotten working on set and things like that, that's what's prepared me to work in the industry or to, start my career in the industry. Do you feel like that's been kind of the same experience for you? Like, do you feel like going to school actually helped you? Because I feel like Canada's industry versus the US's industry is completely different.
Very
So
different.
we want to know the tea.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I had a great experience when I went to school. I would say that going to school definitely has helped me, not only in just expanding my mind for all the different roles you can play in the fashion industry, but further solidifying that, okay, like this really is like what I want to do. Because like I said, within their coursework, it's like you kind of like you're taught everything. And then like, whichever you best excel at, then that's like, when your capstone comes, that's when you can figure out what you want to dedicate like your senior project to. So it's like in school, like I did like the boring shit, like retail math and forecasting, projection, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
But like my favorite classes were like my mock ad class or like the fashion film class where you had to come up with like a campaign or your own concepts like for you know, to show this product or to display this emotion, whatever it may be, but just like where I had more free rein. Those were the classes that I enjoyed the most. They could have been, I mean, I'm sure at one point I was probably stressed. I can't really remember now because my memory is terrible. But I'm sure those were the more stressful assignments just because it's like, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, walked through everything. Like no one's holding your hand. It's like, okay, like this is the brief. This is what you have to do. It needs to be done by this day. You need to have this many assets, like whatever. So it's like that really did, you know, get me in the habit of, you know, being a producer and finding people to be on my team who I knew could carry out my vision, like figuring out timing and, you know, just people's schedules. And then, you know, I mean, in Savannah, just in Georgia in general, like the weather is really up in the air. It's like, it can be sunny this day and then be thunderstorming tomorrow. Like we've been dealing with that the past couple of weeks, like where it'll be super cold and then we'll have a heat wave. So like even that, just like having to, you know, roll with the punches, like with the weather and then just like, you know, other things and external factors that you can't control. So, and then like, how do you recoup from that? Like, what's your next plan? So like those types of situations definitely have prepared me. Because like I said, like the collaborating with these types of projects, like that's built up my portfolio to be what it is now. But now that I've been able to, you know, assist on music video sets and go to New York Fashion Week, which I know we will talk about later. Those types of projects like have, you know, helped me, you know, excel at those things and just to be ready for whatever.
I feel that. I mean, I don't because I didn't have that experience, unfortunately.
I kind of feel where you're coming from because I studied the same program that you did. Just I did it in Montreal, obviously not in the States. I do get what you mean. I could relate to you saying that, like, being able to have been taught everything that you can be open to doing career-wise in the fashion industry was really nice because you got to, like, try a little bit of everything to kind of just reassure yourself that this is what you want to do and mm-hmm. also narrow down what it is in the industry that you want to do. Like, for me, the buying merchandising classes, the like, stock management classes, that was...
Yeah, and it's like when I saw like buying like in the like class title, like even like before I went to school, I'm like, oh, like I like to shop. Okay, like I can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like that's like a 1% of like what the job actually is.
It's about. The smallest portion of what it actually is. Like there's so much numbers that goes into it and planning and line sheets and all this other stuff.
Formulas,
that, like,
Excel.
Mm-mm. If Excel is not your best friend, don't become a buyer. That's all I'm
literally
saying. Because if you can't do Excel, which I can't do Excel, I've been lied on resumes that I can do Excel.
Like, no, actually, because when I say I know how to do Excel, I mean I know how to add a row above or below, delete some shit.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's really the extent of it. But no, I could definitely relate to like you figuring out, or fashion school really permitting you to figure out what it is that you want to do and how you want to narrow it down. And I'm happy to hear that like other people besides myself have gotten the experience to be able to be exposed to all the jobs that the industry has to offer. Within fashion marketing, you get to learn everything that the fashion industry has to offer for career positions outside of just fashion design. Because I feel like a lot of people, when you tell them, oh, I work in fashion or I do fashion, they're going to assume you're a designer right off the bat.
No. Oh, my God. Even when people would ask me what I went to school for, when I'm like, oh, like I go to school for fashion marketing, they'd be like, oh, so you want to design something? And I'm like,
I got that so often.
No. I mean, like in the future, yes. But
to this day, when I tell people I'm a stylist, they still think I'm a designer, which I am.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I got into fashion. I still designing, but it's like, it's not even the same thing. So like,
it's
oh,
not.
So you make clothes? I'm like, no, that's not what
Yeah, or do. Like if you say stylist, they're like, oh, so you do hair. I've gotten that once. I'm like, are you kidding?
Really?
Only
I've never
one
gotten
time.
That.
Only
I've
one
heard
time
that one
though.
Too. I'm like, no, but nice try.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will say that like the privileges and everything that I've had definitely are because of the school that I went to, and I know that not a lot of people will have that same experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the first things that people say to me when I tell them which school I did go to is that, oh, that school is really expensive, because it is. And it's like, thankfully, you know, like scholarships, like my parents, whatever, like they've been able to make that happen for me. Because it's like, I mean, I didn't get into FIT or Parsons, but that's fine, because, you know, today they'd be begging for me to go there.
Oh, for
but,
sure.
But like, you know, for people who go to like, you know, like a smaller school or like a state school that might have, you know, the same course of study, it's like obviously, you know, the coursework and like the assignments and everything won't be the same. But like nowadays, like there are some schools that are actually offering degrees in fashion styling and stuff, which I don't agree with, because it's like you don't have to pay for things like that. Like if you were to shadow someone, or like, you know, if you were to go to New York Fashion Week, or if you just started, you know, styling and building up your own portfolio yourself by using clothes from you and your friend's closet, like I feel like that would be a better bet than paying somebody like $30,000 or $40,000 a year for an actual degree in that.
But like my thing is like, what are you teaching these people? Because like
realistically, that's what I'm saying.
Like, what do you,
is there a class on steaming?
Like, you know what I mean?
Is there a class on prepping racks? Like, I don't get it.
Like a class on what to put in your kit? Like
literally, because YouTube will tell you. Like,
yeah,
that's so fucking funny.
No, that's very funny.
So I feel like once you figure out what you want to do career wise, you either go to school, you don't go to school, whatever. In my case, I did go, dropped out twice. I say that proudly. Honestly, I think it's part of my story. I'm proud of that. And I kind of went into a phase of like feeling stuck, knowing what I wanted to do, just not knowing how I wanted to go about it. I just knew that the school route was not for me. And I know that's like the reality for a lot of people, is like once they graduate, they feel stuck. Did you feel that way once you were graduating?
Absolutely. Like, and it's so funny because it's like a thing with my parents now, because I do still live at home. Like whenever I get in like one of my creative ruts, or like if they come home and they see me like sulking or whatever, they're like, oh, okay. They're like, what is it now? Like, she's on some shit. Like, what's bothering you now? And it's like, cause like it, as a creative, it's like that happens periodically. You know, you get stuck, you feel uninspired, you're in a creative rut. And it's like that transition from, cause I mean, I like a lot of people, like I finished my senior year online, and then it was like, okay, you turned in your last assignment. Like, now what? It's like, you know, I packed everything up for my graduation ceremony in Savannah, like did that. That was great. Saw friends, you know, that I hadn't seen in a really long time, and then went back home. And it's like, okay, now I really can do whatever I want. But like, what do I do? Like, it's obviously like I pride myself on always having known what I wanted to do, like being in fashion. Like, that's something that I knew I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, like in school, it's like nobody really tells you, okay, after you graduate, this is how you get a job, other than like your usual updating your resume, making sure that you're making collections on LinkedIn, you know, in-person networking, whatever. But it's like an actual, like, this is how you do it. Like, nobody gives you that. So I definitely did feel stuck. And I was like, I have no idea like how I'm going to get to where I want to go. I started working with my mom over the summer, a job that I had worked with her previously, like during my summers of college. So I was like, I'll just do that for now, you know, make some money. I feel like I might be jumping ahead because I saw one of the questions, but thankfully a friend of mine, he was working as a costumes PA on a movie, but he was also about to start his master's at SCAD for the fashion design program, and he was like, I can't commit to this anymore, like can you replace me? And I was like, okay, sure, just, like whatever. Like,
I don't want to cut you, but PA, by the way, is production assistant for people
those who don't know the terms.
Yeah, thank you for knowing that, because a lot of people think it's personal assistant, which some
oh my some gosh
jobs, like some of the roles under the scope of the job do blur that line of personal assistant, which can be annoying, but yes, it is production assistant. But yeah, he was like, can you like replace me? And I'm like, okay, like whatever, like I just like I needed a job like that at that point. Like the job with my mom had ended, and I was like, okay, like I'm crying every day, like I'm just, you know, like I'm spiraling, like I just need something. So I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And yeah, fast forward a year and a half later, and I'm still here. I mean, working in TV and film is definitely a different side of the industry. It's entertainment, which I never saw myself necessarily working in it. I mean, Atlanta is like a pretty big entertainment hub already.
It is.
I didn't even really realize that until I got into the industry. But yeah, I mean, like for people who, you know, are just starting out in fashion, I mean, I definitely think considering all options, like, is a great way to find what you want to do if you didn't go to school to explore that already. I mean, like, I told myself, like, I'm just going to roll with the punches. Like, I'm just going to, you know, say yes to everything that comes my way just to try it. Because I mean, that is one piece of advice that I got from one of my professors, is to just to try, you know, different things that you're interested in, just see if you like it. To me, it really depends on the crew that you have on your show. That'll definitely make your experience, you know, make or break. I've worked on 3 full productions and then like day played for like a day or a week on other ones where the crews have been, you know, nice, and then the crews haven't. So like, that definitely does, you know, add to the experience, you know, workplace culture.
Especially because you started this during the pandemic, right?
Technically, yeah. Like, I started in September 2021.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I mean, like, even though, like, I mean, we're still in a pandemic, but, like, we're not. I don't even know. Like, I'm just here, personally.
Yeah, no, like, what you mean, though. Like, you had started, like, when it was a little calmer.
Yeah, I mean, but even still, like, you have to wear masks on the production just because it's a lot of people. And, like, we get COVID tested, like, regularly and stuff. But, yeah, it was still during that time where, like, you know, things like just started opening up. But yeah, I mean, having to get used to being around people like that, and then like having to get used to actually going somewhere every day, like that was definitely an adjustment. Let alone having to do like 10,000 things at one time and you're the only person that's doing it.
Yeah,
that was definitely an adjustment.
Can you kind of talk more about the job that you're doing, kind of to give people an idea of like what it is like to work in TV film,
or in production, film. Yeah.
So even though a production assistant is the one that gets paid the least, we are the ones that literally make the world go around. We make everybody else's job easier. So whenever new clothes are brought in from the shopper, we have to tag it with colored dots called date dots accordingly. So the day it was bought, the store, the amount, so that when it's time to return it, you can just go into your binder or wherever you keep the purchase receipts, pull it, and then go and return it. So like a lot of my job, I'll probably say 80% of my job was doing that, was returning clothes that, you know, didn't work out during fittings for the character or whatever. But other things would be, you know, taking things to and from set, or to the costume truck. On one of my productions, which was my longest production, I was on for 6 months. Didn't even realize it was 6 months. But damn. On that one, yeah.
That's crazy.
On that one, the budget was like super duper high. Traditionally for a costumes department, you'll have 2 PAs, if not one. But on this one, there were 4 of us. Yeah. So there were 3 that were like general PAs for the office who were, you know, getting lunch, restocking the crafty area with like different snack foods and coffee, whatever, you know, making copies, like basic administrative work, like at the end of the night, like emptying the trash, making sure everything's tidy. But I was the PA for the costume designer, or really the design team. So like I sat on the side with the costume designer, the assistant costume designer, the shoppers, the key costumer, like all of them. And then the other ones like sat, you know, like near the supervisor or whatever. So a lot of what I was doing was whenever we would have like luxury pulls, like from Farfetch or Moda Operandi or Revolver Forward, I was the one that was keeping track of everything, checking that in, because it was more of an expensive price point. Anything that was expensive, I was handling it, which I wasn't mad at.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, but the unfun part was, you know, making sure that she had her lunch and all of her wellness items, which I understand, like, the majority of that crew and her did come from Los Angeles. So, it, like, being in a new city, especially for an extended period of time, you do want to make sure you have your wellness and comfort items to make sure you're doing your job well, because the costume designer literally never stops working. She was working 7 days a week, like, would email us at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning, even text sometimes. But yeah, having to make sure that, you know, her lunch with all her dietary restrictions was accurate. I mean, just like, you know, like there was a lot of personal things, you know, that I needed to tend to, because we are around each other for so long. When you're working in this industry, you work 12-hour days, if not 13 or 14, like on the high end. And you do that, you know, 5-6 days out of the week. So working in the industry is definitely a commitment. Yeah, it's a commitment.
Production. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty much all the same thing. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. I did get to go on some fittings with her, and also like help her shop for the characters. So that was fun. So I got to see a different element of like what a shopper would want to do, because that's what I wanted to move into, mm-hmm. was go from a PA to a shopper. So I was, you know, buying all of the clothes and everything that they were fitting. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, you know, returns, you know, getting lunch, taking things to and from set, that type of thing. And then like just depending on, you know, the production and what the costume designer needs, like those might change, you know, every now and then. But yeah, pretty much same old, same old. It does get a little mundane, but like I said, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, but I think it's like some of those kind of jobs that you have to start when you start in the industry, you know, like mm-hmm. I did kind of something similar as you when I first started, but it wasn't for commercial and not production, which is, it's still demanding, but a little less than film, because film is extremely intense, but it was very mundane. It was very like everyday things, and it was very repetitive, but I think it's like, it's like the part of the fashion industry that we don't get to see, the part that's not glamorized, you know, because mm-hmm. everyone gets to see the New York Fashion Week. Everyone gets to see the end result, and everyone watches like the Emily in Paris and those shows, mm-hmm. and they show like very specific parts of the industry that's not necessarily the real thing.
And I definitely think, I mean, it's like, my dad's always like, you know, sometimes you see the world through rose-tinted glasses, but it's like, I know I'm not the only one. People, like, it happens. But I definitely think working this role, especially for over a year, I didn't even realize it had been that long until someone was like, oh, you're still a PA? And I'm like, what do you mean still? And then I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it does really make you gain an appreciation for, you know, the best of the best costume designers, or like the best fashion designers, the best stylists, because it's like everyone has to start somewhere. And it's like that, I feel like, is really like the true test, or like, you know, like boot camp, like an obstacle course or whatever, because it's like there are some times where like I've had to like, you know, do like 100 on, I've actually gotten a ticket before while at work because I was trying to get somewhere for, I had to go and get something they needed, and I had to get like come back like at a certain amount of time. And I got a speeding ticket. It's like, there are times that like you will break down. I have broken down very, very many times. Like it definitely does, you know,
it gets to
build you.
You.
Yeah, it gets to you, but it also like it toughens you up, because it's like, obviously like coming up to work every day, showing up to work every day, like that's voluntary, because you know, mm-hmm. like it's this, I've always said that in this industry, like whatever I'm doing, it's a stepping stone. I'm not going to be in this industry forever. Mm-hmm. I already know that. But at least, you know, I know how to do these things, so that when I, you know, do assist this stylist, or I decide to branch out and have my own, you know, styling company, whenever I do hire people to help me, you know, to do what I need them to do, it's like I can teach them at the same time because I did it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very curious about the New York Fashion Week. Tell us about it. How was your experience assisting?
Mm-hmm.
Assisting in styling, and like
hold on, how did you get there first?
Yeah, that's, just that's break it down from the beginning.
So that's what I was saying about the PA job. So a friend of mine contacted me about that to replace him, and then similar type of situation for this, a friend of mine, she DM'd me the story post of Talia, the stylist that I assisted.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you need to apply for this. Like, and I feel like before I get into it, like the bottom line is like people who are willing to, you know, look out for you and like, you know, speak your name in a room, or, you know, let you know this opportunity, like that really does go a long way.
Yeah.
And like, it just shows like who the real people are around you. Like even people that you haven't met, like, because the person that sent me the story for Talia, I've never met her. Like, she's just a friend that I made over social media.
Mm-hmm.
So Talia was like, you know, send your email, like, send an email with your resume, like your portfolio showing your interest. And so I actually sent 3 emails, the other 2 by accident, because I sent the wrong resume. And
Oh,
then the second time, still sent the wrong resume. And then the third one, sent my right one. So I feel like that kind of just like showed my personality and who I am, even though it like I thought it was like a fuck up. But yeah, showed her my portfolio and everything. She was like, "You skipped the line." She was like, "You know, your portfolio is bomb." So like that really did just like show that my interest in my craft was like seen, and like she could see like how hard I've worked, you know, how much I love styling. And so that's New York Fashion Week was something I've always wanted to do. Like when I posted about it, you could see my to-do list, like my goals. And that's one of them. Never thought that it would happen like the year, or I guess 2 years after. And so when I was at the airport, actually, I saw another stylist that I idolize, Colin Carter, which I thought was funny. Or fate, I don't know. But yeah, it was great. I mean, working the PA job, like I said, it definitely did prepare me for all the things that I had to do for Fashion Week. So I was, you know, running around New York City, going to different showrooms, meeting different people, you know, to pull the things that she had picked. You know, I have never really explored New York like that before. Like I've been to New York a couple times before, but never for this long or by myself. So me and Google Maps, we were best friends at that point. Like trying to figure out the subway system that actually wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. That was one of the things that my parents were like kind of nervous about for me, but I'm like, you know what, like whatever, like I got this, like I'm gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm a city girl. Like I meant to be here, and I did. But yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, there were times where I was, you know, a little overwhelmed because New York is giant. People were not playing about that. But yeah, I mean, like I knew what I had to do. I had to get done, and I did it. Like I just knew that with my determination, like at the end of the day, everything was going to get done, and it did.
Yeah.
The client was super sweet. Built a relationship with Talia and the other assistant, China, who is like my best friend at this point. Hey, China, isn't for everybody. Like I said, like it kind of was like a normal PA job. But like if you really want it, and then, you know, just using your resources, like, you know, maps, like it's doable. Like if you really wanted to assist someone, you could.
Yeah. If you're willing to put in the work.
Yeah. I feel like that's the part that I was probably not prepared for, because when I started styling, I never assisted. I think I assisted someone like maybe once, but it was more so me shadowing her and not necessarily assisting her, because it's not like she needed much assisting help. So when I came to Montreal and I was literally just assisting, it was like a different ball game, you know, because going from like being taking control of like your own projects and being the one to call all the shots to having to like answer to someone, which that was something I was not used to. It was like very like difficult. So I feel like definitely I wish I would have assisted more or started assisting before I went to building my portfolio and stuff. But it's like small city problems. There's not much opportunities in Ottawa for styling, so you know you have to make do with what you got.
It's like slim to none.
Honestly. Oh, literally nothing.
Unless you make your own opportunities, it's very rare that it's going to happen. And like for the most part, the ones that do come into play are like TV segments for like morning shows, or like personal shopping or personal styling for like reorganizing or revamping like corporate people's closets and stuff like that.
A few production things, but it's like for Hallmark movies,
Christmas movies.
I mean, even then though, like you're building up those skills to where when you do assist somebody, because it's like when you assist a stylist, like they're expecting you to know how to do everything, like even if you don't know how to do it.
Even if it's your first time on set, they're like, oh, have you like gotten all the shoes prepped? Is everything on the tables? Are the racks like good to go? Like, and then you're just like, hold on, I just got here.
Yeah, I mean, and especially because it's like I've worked with Talia a couple times now, it's like you really do have to learn the person that you're working with, because it's like little things like, you know, having in the fitting room or having this prepped a certain way, like it'll just go, it'll make a bigger impression, or like it'll go longer, like just showing that you have that attention to detail. So I mean, even if like you're not getting the experiences that you want to get, like I wouldn't count yourself out. You got it.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. What was your craziest experience in New York?
Yeah. Or at Fashion Week in general?
Because I was watching the stories. I'm on the close friends. I feel like I got a little bit of a cute little...
Oh, well...
There's a lot happening.
So, I mean, it's like when you work as hard as you do, like during New York Fashion Week, because it's like it's never ending. It's like you're tired and then you get invited to an after party and you're like, I don't know if I want to go. You should definitely go. Because one, not only for the connections, but in terms of crazy, like I was surrounded by a bunch of celebrities that like I had always seen growing up, or like artists that I listened to. And it wasn't even like a huge fangirl moment. Even if it is, you always play it cool because
you're not a bunch of fangirls.
But it was just like, damn, it was like they're just regular people. Like they're really just, because it's like nobody like had their phone out, you know, during these more intimate events, obviously, so I wasn't gonna have mine out, you know. But you know, when the photographers come around and like, you know, ask for a picture, that's when you slide in, like that's that's how you get a picture with them. But I did get a picture with Brent Faiyaz, which was pretty cool, I guess. He was super king. Sweet too. right No, but he was super sweet, like super chill and cool, like when I got introduced to him. But yeah, I feel like that probably was like a crazy moment, just being surrounded like by celebrities, and they're just cool and they're just there, you know what I mean?
It's regular people for real.
Regular on a regular day.
I feel like I could act cool, but there's some people that I might have like a little freak out moment internally.
We know which ones, like, or I know which ones.
No, same. I mean, like, so like one of the people that I saw was Karrueche and Coco Jones. She was super sweet. Like they're both gorgeous. Like if anything, it's like, wow, you actually look like that. Ooh. When you see them. Not in a good way.
No tea, no shade. But
no, it just reminded me of like all of these videos that I've seen like on TikTok, like especially like in influencer events or like, you know, New York Fashion Week, right. How some influencers are like, yeah, a lot of the girls that y'all see on internet do not look like that in real life.
No, it's called Facetune.
And I'm like,
some people pay premium for that shit right now.
No, they really do. No, but they were gorgeous. I mean, black don't crack. Anyways, hello. Period. But no, they looked great.
I am curious to know, what are some of the best decisions that you feel like you've made for your career thus far?
Definitely going to New York Fashion Week. Like, that was really expensive. And like,
okay, that was another thing that I was going to ask, like, while you were telling the story, because I feel like a lot of people, when they talk about going to Fashion Week, I feel like a lot of people don't know this, but unless you're an influencer or unless you are being brought in by a brand, if you're there, like, you're paying to go. You're not being in, flown in, like, five-star treatment. That's not what's going on.
Exactly. No, seriously. So, I mean, that was definitely one of the biggest things that I was having to come to terms with before I actually decided to go. I was like, if you're going to get into this, it's like you need to know what to expect. And I mean, and that was the same conversation that my parents had with me when I told them that I was going. They're like, okay, like there's just certain things that you're just going to have to expect. And the expenses is the biggest part. And so like, you know, I had saved and I was like, if I'm going to do this, like this is my plunge. Like I feel like in everybody's or every creative's career at one point, they're going to have to come to their plunge moment. And I was like, okay, like this is my plunge. Like this is, you know, as if I'm an actress and I'm going to LA like to make my big break. Yeah. Like this is the same type of moment. So I was like, if I'm gonna do it, like I'm just gonna have to do it. And so like, you know, I looked at flight costs and everything, like, you know, the room being the the biggest expense, because I was there for 8 days, I think. Yeah, I think I was there for like a week. Like I literally sold some of my stock to go. Like this was a huge investment, but like I was like, I need to do it right. And I'm glad that I did it, because like I know you know, what my experience, you know, can be if I just, you know, continue to grind and, you know, just stay on top of my shit. And I mean, luckily I have friends who do stay in New York so that whenever I do make future trips, like I have someone to stay with so that,
that's,
you know,
the plug.
Yeah.
That's honestly the plug. Knowing so everyone in the cities that you're going to go to for work is the best feeling ever.
It is. I mean, cause that takes off like a big part of the expense too. Mm-hmm. But like, if you are able to make connections, like with other assistants, you know, in the city or just stylists in general, mm-hmm. when you do know that season is coming back up, you could like, you know, split a room or something. Like there's ways around it. I mean, but you will have to spend money to get there. But the goal is to assist enough to where you can, you know, be someone's like right hand to her, you know, and they'll pay you. Exactly.
So how did that work for you then when you went with Talia? Like, because you did mention that it was an expensive trip in itself and you did have to save for it, but was there anything, without obviously disclosing too much, because I'm sure some stuff is confidential, but was there anything within that work trip that like was accommodated for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like when you're working with a stylist, like, and it's like the prep, like the fittings, like everything, these are taking hours on end. Like it's mm-hmm. taking like all day pretty much. So you are around, you know, these people a lot. So, I mean, we've definitely built a relationship there, you know, just girls being girls, gossiping, talking about whatever, like, you know, like we did become friends at this point, honestly, mm-hmm. like she's like my mentor, like my big sister figure, like, and I'm glad that it's evolved into that relationship because I was so nervous at first that whenever I did assist a stylist, not, you know, her specifically, but mm-hmm. like, it was going to be like, you know, like a cold relationship. Like I, if anything, like, I mean, I'm not going to say that every assistant job will be like this, but it's not as, with me and her, it's like now it's not like a, you know, like a super professional, like it's still professional, but it's not, you know, what I thought it would be. It's not cold, I guess.
Like, yeah, it's, like it's not, you don't feel like there's necessarily like a hierarchy or a,
I mean, there still power. Is, don't get me wrong, but like, it's not like weird. Yeah.
I think it's more so, what I'm understanding is you're saying you guys are working together as opposed mm-hmm. to you working for her or under mm-hmm. her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I definitely feel that, like, especially when I first came, like assisting different people, I think like off the top of my head, there was one stylist in particular or two stylists in particular who were really like, they were, I could tell that they were really trying to like make sure that I was good, you know, and like making sure that like,
I had one experience like that.
But for the most part, a lot of the time when you're assisting, like it's like you're
working for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, right. And
obviously that's how it works. Like you are working for them, but in more so like sometimes people can be rude. Sometimes people can really make you feel like,
or can be.
Oh, intense. Absolutely. Yeah. You know? Absolutely, especially like those are the same ones that try to gatekeep too, that make it seem like it's impossible to be like where they are.
Yeah,
like rather than trying to teach you at the same time, they're literally just delegating and telling you this is what you need to do, and it shouldn't be like that because it's like, I don't know, it's like people are trying to preserve this, like, I don't mm-hmm. know, this space, when it's like there's so many different types of stylists and so many different types of fashion and aesthetics, like you mm-hmm. can't, like there's, you can't be the everybody. One literally there's room for everybody. So it's like, and I appreciate that was, you know, something that she was trying, you know, mm-hmm. to instill in me and China, the other assistant, like letting us know that, like, you know, like I'm going to teach y'all, like she really is like a big sister figure, like not even I can, you know, not even it being something that's like work related, just to like, you know, check in, like see, you know, how we are. And I feel like doing that, like that just builds like a lasting relationship. And I feel like every stylist should try to be that with their team, especially mm-hmm. with how much we do and how much, you know, we're around each other.
Yeah, I agree 100% because, especially it's the same. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was just remembering the question that you asked me about her, like, doing. So, yeah, so she always expressed her gratitude. And so, mm-hmm. like, when we were out, like, she would, you know, like, buy us breakfast or, like, you know, buy a meal, coffee, whatever. So there mm-hmm. were, you know.
Accommodations.
Accommodations, exactly. Sorry, I have a... habit of going off on a tangent. Sorry.
It's okay. This is why we podcast, because it's the same thing. There's no even stress about that. Brittany, you were saying something before?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if it's the same, like I'm sure it probably is the same, but like in Canada, the fashion industry, it's a lot of like older white often men too. And it's really hard to feel, like once you come into the space that you're like welcome in that sense, because like you don't look at them, you don't come from the same places that they come from, you guys don't have the same ideologies, don't have the same tastes, like things that I think are super cool, they might not think is like cool either. It's like nice when it, like, honestly, when I meet a stylist that like we connect with, and you know, as soon as you meet them, you know if you guys are gonna be vibing, you know if this is gonna be a long day or this is gonna be a fun day, you know.
Oh, right, for sure.
But like, as soon as I meet someone and like we vibe, like when I tell you, I'm like, oh, thank God, like it's like a breath of fresh air, because I'm like, this is not gonna be a long day, you know. And I never want to come to us
on my last project.
I never want to get to a place where like, and that's that. That was like one thing too with like going to fashion school. I felt like I started to hate fashion because I started to like, I started to relate like, I guess fashion with like my bad experience in school together. Yeah. It was hard to kind of like separate the two of them, you know. And I don't want to get to a point where like, because I'm having these bad experiences with people that I'm working for, that like I'm starting to not enjoy what I'm doing when I know that I enjoy those things, you know.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's, I mean, it's like, I definitely,
yeah, I definitely understand. I mean, like I said, like there are parts of the job that where I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, what, like there's to like, you know, breakdowns, like the, and especially me being a Pisces moon, like I'll be the first to admit I cry a lot, like, but for me, like I don't see that as like a sign of weakness. Like I literally see it as like a form of emotional self-care, because it's like, it just gets so pent up. It's like, especially if you're alone, like who's gonna judge you? Like cry if you need to cry. Cry and like
you gotta do it.
I found a couple like breakdowns at my assisting jobs.
Oh my gosh, what do you guys feel like, because I kind of want to hear this from everybody's perspective, but what do you guys feel like is the weirdest request, or like most like, like a request you've gotten from assisting someone to do, and you were just kind of like, huh? Like, this isn't my job description? No.
That's a really good question.
I've been asked to like vacuum the studio.
That's just irritating. That's very irritating.
And like, I was asked that by like one of the higher ups in the thing. And like in casual conversations with someone that was also like, she was not like my boss, but she was kind of higher up than me. I like mentioned that, and she's like, why the hell would you vacuum? Like, that's not your job. And I was like, and it's kind of one of those things when you come into a situation where you, cause like, this is also the thing that I feel like people don't talk about a lot. It's like a lot of the jobs in fashion industry are not formal. Right. Like, I never got a formal job description. I never got a formal, especially because I was technically freelancing for that company at the time. So there was not, there was, everything was informal. So the things that I passed that I was doing, and the things that I was doing is more so like, oh, we're asking you to do this, you know, can you do that?
Yeah, because you're here type of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, so exactly.
There was nothing formal. So to me, it was kind of like, if you ask me to vacuum, because I don't have a formal, like, these are the tasks that you have to do, then like, okay, well,
you just kind of do it, and it's like, it's whatever, like in the moment. But then after you think about it, you're like, hold on.
Mine would be like something similar, but like it wasn't as outlandish to me, just because it's like being a PA, it's like you do everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, it wasn't,
that's what I'm saying,
super weird, but it was just like a, if anything, it was more like a, oh, like I didn't think that I'd still be doing that, but I'll do it anyway. Yeah.
This is thing I feel like is a little different in that sense, because you're, it's not just like one specific spot of like working on the film that you're taking care of, or a specific team that you're like also assisting in. Like, you're doing, you're basically support for like just about everyone and everything, you know, making sure that things run smoothly. So even like, I had worked on a short film set as a production assistant and as like the wardrobe coordinator, because it was a small like short film, and even some of the stuff that we were doing, myself and my colleague that I was working with, like we were not just delegating stuff to like art direction and wardrobe. Like, we were, you know, transporting things from one set to the other. We were like, you know, like taping down like walls and like the floor and like all kinds of stuff. It's like, it's a little bit of everything, or like making sure that certain things were not in the shot, or like pulling fans out for people as they were getting warm.
It's,
like
it's kind of it that's what I mean when I say that it's there's not like any like official job description, because in some sets, in some production, it's a small production, so you might have the title of like PA or assistant, but like really you might be the concierge, you might be like, you might be secretary, you might be a lot of things, you know. But in bigger productions, like technically speaking, if you're a PA, then you're just a PA, you know, because they have the money, the resources to like have different like people engage. And it's like, if you tell me to do it, like it's gonna take me questions. Like 5 minutes, I'll just do it, you know. So it was it was not like I literally did it. But then when we had casual conversation, that girl was like, yeah, like no, that's actually not your job, like we actually have people for that. And I was like, oh, okay. So I started realizing there's a lot of things that I was doing that like I didn't have to do, and that was taking away from the time of the things that I actually needed to do. And I was doing it because it was like I was asked to do it, you know?
Absolutely. I think,
I mean, I think that there's like with in any part of the industry, like people will try to take advantage of you, which is really fucking annoying. Especially like how I told y'all, someone that I work with was like, oh, you're still a PA. And that's when I realized I've been doing it for a year and a half. Here in Georgia, like Georgia's a right to work state. So I technically didn't have to be a PA except for like one time before I could have like moved on to being something else. Because like, I mean, certain productions and certain people will try to tell you that you have to be a part of the union to do anything like higher than a PA. But like, I'm not going to pay like thousands of dollars and union fees for like an industry I'm not going to be in for, so I'm not going to be in it long. And so like people too will try to get over on like, you know, the scope of the job for PAs and what they do, like, you know, like how you were talking about the vacuuming thing, like there were sometimes I had to like go to one of my crew members' houses or something. Like I had to go to my supervisor's house one time to like drop off like some stuff for her because she was sick, which is like, okay, she was sick, but like why am I doing it? Like I'm a costume PA, get a regular PA to do it, you know what I mean? Like just things like that. Just you gotta know the game so that people can't try and, you know, pull a wool cloth over your eyes or whatever the saying is.
That's the tea, y'all. We talked about earlier like all the things that you do, you're freelancing, working as a PA, and you're doing content creation. How do you manage all those things?
That's a great question. As best as I can is the answer. Because I feel like Instagram is in such a weird place now. Like it's definitely not what it used to be, like algorithm, like if that actually exists or not. And then like the likes and the followers, like all of it, like personally to me, like it's bullshit. Like it really doesn't matter. Like I used to be one of the people where I thought it really mattered, but like not to like be that person, but it's like everything that I put on my Instagram, like that's the life that I live. Like I don't need to flex like other people do, you know, for the likes and everything, because like everything that I put out is authentic. So it's like I create for me now whenever, you know, I have the time or feel like it, because like I shot content yesterday and I did not feel like it in the pictures, you can tell. But you know, I'm gonna make do with what I have. But yeah, I just create for me, like as long as I'm having fun, that's all that I care about, because like it reflects, you know, in my content. And you know, I just hope everybody else enjoys.
I'm definitely enjoying your content.
Thank you.
But yeah, like me and Yasmin,
I'm about to start enjoying it and consuming it, because I've been hearing all the things on Rudy's end.
Me and Yasmin, like, I appreciate it. Especially lately, we've been having such a hard time with, like, creating content. Like, the worst time. And, like, generally, sometimes I'll be out, and I'm like, oh, I'm wearing this cute outfit, I should take a picture. As soon as I step my foot in the place, I forget about that. I forget about the outfit. I forget about taking content. I forget about all those things.
But that's every single time that we record in studio, too, that we're like, oh, well, like, we look cute today to record. We might as well take content. And then what happens? It doesn't happen.
See, but some people, where the people try to say, like, you know, like, I don't make time for the content, or if, like you said, like, as soon as you step in, like, you just forget, like, you're in the moment. Like, honestly, like, I am the first person that I want to take pictures, like, all the time, all day, every day, but it's, like, lately, I've been, like, you know, like I look fly, I look cute, but it's like I'm not, you know, taking a picture. I'm just in the moment. You know what I mean? And that's beautiful. Like, honestly, like there are times where it's like I don't go on Instagram at all, or if I do, like I just post and like that's it. Like I just like I'm not on my phone.
I feel that. And I think it's just like the way that Instagram has changed and stuff, but I think, I don't know, people want to use it differently, you know? And like, I think I just want to have like actual real connection, speak to people in real life. And I think that's what the podcast has brought me, at least. I don't know how Yasmin feels about it,
Yeah,
but it's like we can
definitely.
actually have conversation to real people about what they do and things. And it's a lot of the
Yeah.
connections that we have with people on Instagram, because like literally like most of our guests are people that we met through Instagram for the most part. Now we get to have like real conversations with them,
Yeah.
real connections with
And it's
them.
not that, then it's people that we've either worked with before or that we know like from our personal life, because they're also friends and artists as well, or creatives as well. So
Yeah, like
it's just nice.
someone that we had on the podcast last year, me and her, we did an episode, solo episode together, and we literally never like met in real life until like a few months ago. We met in real life, like we had a podcast
Oh,
together,
yesterday, yeah.
not yesterday,
No.
Kaiser, that was like in the summer that we
Right.
met in real life
Right,
for the
right,
first
right.
time. And it's like, you know, it's nice to have that
A
connection
face
with
to the
someone
name
else,
and a
yeah,
connection to it.
outside of the Instagram, you
Yeah, I
know.
mean, I agree too, because I mean, Bernie, I think we started following each other like I want to say like 2 years ago now or something like that. I can't remember.
It's, I
Like
feel like it's
during the it was
been
during the it's during the pandemic, I think, right?
maybe even longer than that. I feel like it's been a minute.
Man, I have no idea. Time is not even a thing anymore. Like if you didn't know, now you know. Like these days
No,
go
for
by so
real.
quickly. Like I
It's
literally
scary.
am, yeah, for real. Like that's why I'm saying the whole enjoying in the moment too, like, because it's, I don't know, I feel like time, especially this month for January, it's like it's been going by quickly, but it's slowed down a little bit. But it's still like you have to really take in every moment, because it's like we're about to be in February.
So you brand yourself as the Atlanta It Girl. What is
Yeah,
that? Tell
yes, I
us more.
do.
Talk about it.
That's a great question. I mean, it's like, I don't know, I guess like I feel like it's something that was kind of like given to me, but also something that I decided. I don't know. It's like, I mean, I'm from Atlanta, born and raised. I mean, the way that I dress, like the way that I talk, act, all of that, like I said, that's very authentic to me. I've been doing it like ever since, I mean, really forever. Like when I was younger, my mom, she always, you know, had me dripped, like, you know, like baby fat, like the cute steps, like whatever. Like I've always dressed well and presented myself well. And then, you know, when other people would, you know, recognize it too, like enough to like tell me or like make it this thing, like especially when I was in school, because in high school I was wearing heels and makeup every single day. Like when I say
Oh
makeup
my
every single day,
gosh.
it was partly because she was
That was
insecure,
us.
because the skin was not great in high school. But like even at my like field day or whatever, powder puff that we had in high school, I wore makeup because I was like, you're not going to see me without a full beat. Like it's just always been a thing. So like, you know, that's just what people have associated with me,
That
which
was
I mean,
us in high school too.
yeah, I mean, always had to step. Like every day, I always used to say, like, you have to treat every day like it's a fashion show. Because, like, you know, especially when, I mean, I'm already like 5'9", like, so with heels, you know, I'm a good like 6 or like
I felt
6'1".
that.
So you see me like powering down the hallway, like, move, get out of my way.
Literally. You hear me while you're in class walking
Literally,
past.
click, clack, click, clack, click, clack,
Yeah, I
all
used to be
day.
the girl that used to wear her heels in school too. And we had
Yep.
like in high school, it was like a four, I don't know how you say it in English.
Four-story school.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
I'd had classes like in the fourth floor sometimes. So I'd be walking up and down the stairs all day, you know, with my freaking
Oh yeah, believe me, I already know what that's
I'm
like.
picturing it now.
My school, it had 11 stories. It was like the tallest like school and like most expensive school within our district or whatever. And
I
so
forget that schools in the States are just, they're never going to be the same as in Canada. Like, for even
it's
four floors for a school in Canada is considered big. that's
But
huge.
11?
11?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It was like two floors were dedicated to each grade or something like that. But like
Oh.
when the elevators weren't working and like, I had a class that was on four, but I had to go to eight. Believe me, my ass was walking in heels. I was taking my time. Okay.
Oh no.
Because you're not going to see me break a sweat, not in my heels.
Period.
But yeah, I just feel like, presenting myself that way every single day for school, like it's just become an attitude at this point. And that's just something that's signature to me, I guess. But I want to be clear that the Atlanta It Girl does not mean she's a bitch, and It Girl is not a bitch. It's just someone who is on her shit, is about her shit, presents herself well, and uplifts other like-minded bad bitches. Okay.
I know
You
that's
better
right.
say it. You better say it. Do you feel like the Atlanta It Girl is like an alter ego, or do you feel like it's a good resume of who you are?
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of both, because it's like, so I when I came up with the name the Atlanta It Girl, it was, I don't know, I guess a reflection of who I am now. But we have an Amazon, or I have an Amazon like Fire Stick TV in my room or whatever. And so my dad, he connected like all of our like family photos and shit to like the Prime like photo reel or something. So like when my TV's on idle, I see all these like pictures and memories and stuff. And so I've come back like and looked at pictures of me when I was younger, like wearing like big sunglasses that had like rhinestones on them, or like I said, like baby fat or dairy on jeans, like a velour track set, just a tracksuit set, like things that are just like very authentic to like the glam like 2000s, when like the celebrities all had their lines and stuff. Like that was like true to who I was, and I didn't even know it until like I saw those pictures. So it's like it's something that's always been authentic to me. So I feel like it's also just me reconnecting with who I was when I was younger. I mean, a lot of that was like my mom's decision, because she dressed me, but I'm sure I had some input every now and then. But yeah, just I guess that's like me reconnecting with who I was as a child, and then like seeing it evolve into who I am now. And yeah, I'm very excited for it, because I did post that something was coming with the Atlanta It Girl.
Oh, well, that should lead into the next question that we have, which is, what's next for Morgan? What's next for the Atlanta 8 girl? What's happening?
That's a great question, because when I tell you there's a thousand things that I want to do, and I feel like it's like that for pretty much every creative, like there's literally like so much that I want to do. And I'm trying to take my time and enjoy the process with each of them rather than trying to do everything at once, because that does not work. But for now, the most recent development is the Atlanta It Girl. It is my lifestyle brand. Oh my God. Like, I can't believe I'm talking about it, because like it's never been
Oh my God.
it's never been on record before, so you have the scoop. But yes, it is my lifestyle brand. I will be dropping a couple pieces of clothing, merch, whatever you want to call
My
it.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's
And
exciting.
I know, I can't believe I'm talking about it. I'm like
We
over
have an
here blushing.
exclusive. We do. I feel like the lucky sevens right now. God
Oh my
damn.
God. But yeah, I'm very excited for it. And so when I say lifestyle brand, it's not just apparel, but all encompassing of like, I guess a bad bitch equivalent of Yelp. So like, It Girl approved, restaurants, photo spots, nail places, give you the tea on where, you should go whenever you're in the city. But I also, wanted it to be just a community, like I said, for other like-minded bad bitches who are on their shit. And I want to highlight them, because we all deserve to have our flowers. We all deserve recognition, and we can do it together. Like, pretty bitch does not mean mean bitch. They are not synonymous. So yeah, I'm very excited for it, and I hope that, everybody likes the things that I come out with in the future. Spring
I'm
2023,
excited to
God willing. It
see.
might be summer. It might be
Ooh.
summer, because, suppliers, but
Yeah,
it's
fair.
coming this year. It's
I know
coming our
everything
fair
about that. Damn.
time.
So why did you decide to start a lifestyle brand?
That's a great question. just as I wanted to, I guess.
I feel like that's enough of a reason, to be
as
honest.
Simple as that, yeah.
It's like, why not? I mean, it's like, again, like, it's just very authentic to me. I mean, it's like, I knew at one point, like, just being a stylist, a lover of fashion in general, that I was eventually going to move into becoming a designer, or just like someone who's in control of design. Just because, I mean, I like with my Instagram, like just the way that I edit, like whatever, I just feel like I really do have an eye for this shit. So I would like to try my hand at it. You know what I mean? And yeah, I mean, I know, you know, what the girlies want. I know, like, especially like my demographic, I feel like I know, you know, what we're into, and to be able to provide that.
You
I mean,
know
that's
what?
A good
that's
reason.
Yeah. That's a great reason.
That's more than enough.
I'm curious to know, because I think that's one of the questions that we had left as well. But what was, like, your deciding, well, I don't know about your deciding factor, but just, like, the thing that sparked in you to basically tell yourself, like, I want to pursue a career in fashion, or this is what I want to do.
Yeah, what's your fashion love story?
Yeah, talk about it.
And it's, no, and I love this story, because it's like, I mean, I've done interviews before where it's been the same question. And it's like the same memory that I have when I was younger. I want to say I was like, I don't know, like 4 or 5. And so my mom, she, every morning before work, she would sit under the dryer, like to set her hair or whatever. And so she would have it propped up on one of the chairs that leaned against like the bed frame. So I was able to like hover over and like see her. And I just remember seeing her like sew a button back onto her blazer before work one morning while she was getting her hair dried. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, what is that? Like, what is she doing? I'm like, I want to try that. So I literally cut up a piece of my shirt that I was wearing, and I'll never forget. It was like a light pastel yellow. And then I grabbed one of her needles and like a piece of pink thread. I don't know if she threaded it for me, if I did it myself. I literally have no idea. But I literally just started going in and out on that one piece of fabric I cut off from my shirt. Just doing whatever. Not even, I mean, I guess I technically was making a stitch, but it wasn't like, you know, like a good one. I was just going in and out, in and out. And then like that evolved into me like cutting up my brother's like Nemo blanket. Like, and these are like literal flashes of memories that I have. Like, I cut up my brother's blanket. I would cut up like our clothes, just cut up anything. And I started making clothes for my Bratz dolls. And like, that's again, another reason why I call myself the Atlanta It Girl. Cause I feel like it's very reminiscent of a Bratz doll. And like, that's all that I played with when I was younger. Like, and the ways that I would figure out how to measure like the thickness of their arms, like I like would find like pens or like Sharpies, like literally put the fabric around it, cut it, and then like sew it, and then like slide it off, like to make a like the arms of a jacket for my dolls. Like, oh my god, like I remember this like clear as day. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And it's all because I saw my mom like sew a button back onto her blazer, and like they saw like how much I loved doing it, and like how I was just cutting and fucking shit up. And then they started getting me like a little project runway, like little, you know, sewing kits. And like, I had like a mini Singer's sewing machine. Yeah. I mean, every year after that, pretty much for Christmas, it was something that was like design or fashion
That's
related.
Cute.
Yeah. At one point I thought I wanted to be an interior designer, and they got me like a interior design, like coloring book or illustration book. And I had like different stencils, like for the bed and the dresser and stuff. So like I've always like been creative and drawn, and I feel like it might be partly because my grandfather used to draw when I was younger. But it was more like, you know, like birds or trees. He doesn't draw as much anymore, which I don't know why, but I feel like, you know, that just runs in my blood, just being creative, just you know, exploring my passion somehow.
Shout out to your parents for real for getting you the Christmas gifts, because I was over here getting punished for cutting my clothes. Like,
I
my
can't
mom
remember
would see something new in my closet that was cut up, and she'd be like, this woman would go on a rant and lecture me.
Man. I can hear that, Miss Nancy. And
oh
I'm
my
saying,
god,
yes,
coming in my room being like, again, seriously,
mais Yasmin, ça va faire.
That was.
Shout out to Miss Nancy.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I mean, I'm sure I was punished at one point or not. I really can't remember. All I remember is that, like, you know, I wanted to make it. I cut it up. deal with the consequences later. At least my Barbie has a new jacket, okay?
Yeah, ask for forgiveness
later. Instead of permission, ask for forgiveness. I mean, I think like that's all we wanted to know.
Yeah, unless, I feel like anything. That's just about everything.
Yeah.
So where can we
add?
Yeah. Oh wait, no, you're asking me or you're asking Morgan?
Both of y'all.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I have anything to add, but what I do want to know, Morgan, is where can we find you? Where can the people find you?
Oh yeah. On Instagram at Morgan McKenzie. McKenzie spelled McKensey. You will never meet anybody who spells their name like that. And if you dare put a Z in my name, I will find you. Okay. Because it's personal. It's an S.
Yeah.
I'm so dead.
Morgan McKenzie everywhere.
That was very personal. I felt that up here.
Like always, we'll have everything in the show notes.
Yes.
My name is Bernie.
My name is Yasmin.
This is the Fashion Fulfilled podcast where we talk to industry professionals about the industry. We have kind of
rewind. Let's run it back one more time.
Let's run it back. My name is Bernie.
And my name is Yasmin.
This is the Fashion Fulfilled podcast where we talk to industry professionals about the industry while having candid conversations.
And we will see you in the next episode. And like we always say,
love always.
And always love.
That concludes today's episode.
We hope you've enjoyed it.
Before you leave, make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to us.
Leave us a review if you're on Apple Podcasts.
And catch us in an instant at the Fashion Fulfilled Podcast on Instagram and individually.
At Kim Burning with two E's at the end.
And at Yasisaya on Instagram.
Until next time, and remember, love always.
And always love.